Texas. Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.
Yes, 10:04 on this Memorial Day Monday midday. Mark Malusis with you, the right here, the Fan in New York. Number to call, 888-808-1019. That is your number. Roscona Zoo across the way. Roscona's got a nice traveler's hat. Beautiful. Thing of beauty. All he talks about is this golf thing.
Anytime.
You don't even have to ask. You just basically tease him up. You see him, hello? He tells you about his latest round of golf. But now I understand. He's a great golfer. I get it. He's an unbelievable golfer. No, he's a good guy. Zoo across the way as well. At the controls, we're rolling right up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. So an action-packed 5 hours with you on this holiday Monday. And thanks for spending some time with me. And we'll get to your busy calls. And you can hit me up on social media on X, at Mark Malusis. That's Mark with a C. Good luck spelling the last name. A lot of people botch it, but I'm sure you can find me. Whether you like it, whether you hate it, it does not matter. We'll begin with the Knicks. Listen, I was on the airwaves yesterday on my usual Sunday morning spot, you know, from 8 a.m. to 1. And, you know, we talked predominantly Knicks. And it was a great show. Gail Tyler joined me. Ian Bagley, live from Indianapolis, joined me. Took a lot of calls from Knicks fans about, you know, about redoing the Karl Anthony Towns trade with the Minnesota Timberwolves, about, you know, who would you rather have, Julius Randle, Dante DiVincenzo. Obviously, the claws were out for the head coach, Tom Thibodeau, after Rick Carlisle had, let's be honest, outcoached Tibbs. And I'm a Tibbs guy, if you know that. And I've said it time and time again, the minutes police be damned. And all the critics out there and everyone that loves to get on Tom Thibodeau for his ways and everything like that. But, you know, being down 2-0, losing the first 2 games at home, the collapse that we saw in game one, the epic comeback that we saw in game one, the overall terrible, bad performance. The lackluster performance that we saw in response in game number two. And then you get to a game three last night, and, you know, Knicks fans were uneasy. The tensions were out there. Knicks fans were nervous. And the critics were out there, whether it be Towns, whether it be Thibodeau. And it is ironic that you wake up on this Memorial Day Monday morning after taking in that game as it got going at 8 o'clock last night. As you watched in the first half, the Knicks down 20, 55 to 35. And we'll get into the Knicks' epic comeback and the victory because this series is on. And then you wake up on this Monday morning, you put your head to the pillow last night, and the Knicks are alive. Now, they've still got a ton of work to do out in Indianapolis, but they're still alive. This is not a case where we're looking toward the offseason and seeing exactly what changes are going to be made with the Knicks down 3-0 after a loss last night. But it is ironic that it was Towns and it was Thibodeau. It was Thibodeau and it was Towns that played a massive role into the Knicks' comeback last night. It was not Jalen Brunson. It was not Mikal Bridges. We'll get to Josh Hart momentarily, but it was Tom Thibodeau. Because when you look at the way that the Knicks were able to come back from 20 points down in that second quarter, down 55-35, and how they outscored the Pacers at the end of the first half, outscored the Pacers at the end of the third quarter, and outscored the Pacers at the end of the fourth quarter, and finished off every one of those quarters strongly to, at the end of the first half, give themselves a chance, only down 13 at the half, to finish off the third quarter, only down 10 at the end of the third quarter, and then you get the majestic performance by Karl Anthony Towns dropping 20 points in that fourth quarter as the Knicks come all the way back to win that game. And then you get to Thibodeau. Bagley from SNY broke the news on, you know, on Saturday night that the Knicks were going to go with a lineup change. And we understand now that Josh Hart suggested it. Thibodeau obviously said A-OK, and Mitchell Robinson inserted into the starting lineup. Josh Hart coming off the bench. This was not a case, and the Knicks got off to a decent start last night, led the game 11-6. You know, and you get what Mitchell Robinson, and I said it yesterday, bears worth repeating. You know, you have to use Mitchell Robinson properly. You know, he's not all of a sudden going to go out there and play 38, 39 minutes because Mitchell Robinson's gassed. And you saw that in game number two. So you have to use him in spurts in order to maximize what Mitchell Robinson can do for you as a rebounder, as a rim protector, as a guy defensively, as we've seen in the Celtic series, as we've seen at time in this Indiana series, as you saw in the Detroit series, to maximize his effectiveness and limit, because the longer he is on the court, the more tired he gets, the results start to wane. And this is not about the starters. And I had no issue with Tom Thibodeau, the suggestion from Josh Hart. I had no issue with what the Knicks did when it came down to the starters. I really didn't. But here's where Thibodeau deserves a ton of credit. Because as the Knicks were lifeless, as Karl-Anthony Towns was taking one dopey foul after another, as Jalen Brunson, who is a great offensive player, leader, captain, we understand that. And, you know, you had all the storylines early on in the playoffs about, you know, the Brunson's going to go down as the greatest Knick of all time and everyone going out there playing into the moment. Here's the other thing that Jalen Brunson is. Jalen Brunson is an atrocious defensive player. Like an atrocious defensive player. Like really dumb. Like, it's like when you look at it and you say to yourself, how exactly are you doing that? As great as his footwork is offensively, that's as bad as his technique is defensively. And last night, even though, as LaPresti told you at the top of the hour, Jalen Brunson was 10 of 10 from the free throw line. You know, I think he was 6 of 18 from the floor. You know, finished with 23 points. This was not a Jalen Brunson game. You know whose game this was? This was a Deuce McBride game. This was a Landry Shamet game. This was a DeLon Wright game. That's where this game turned. Because as critical as you want to be about Tom Thibodeau and what he can and what he can't do, and as people like to pigeonhole him and say, well, you know what? You got to go out there and get Mike Malone. You got to go out there and do this. Tom Thibodeau can take him so far. He can't go out there and win a championship. You know what Tom Thibodeau did last night? And, you know, Tom Thibodeau went to his bench, man, went to his bench at a last resort to try and spark this team, and it was the defense. Not the offense. Towns was brilliant in the fourth quarter offensively because the other guys got out of his way. But it was the defense that shut down the Indiana Pacers, who were 5 of 25 from behind the arc. It was Shamet. It was Wright. It was Deuce McBride. It was Josh Hart. It was the defense that led the way for the New York Knicks last night. That is the refreshing aspect, and that's where Tom Thibodeau on this Memorial Day Monday deserves, you know, the benefit of the doubt a little bit for the job and the coaching job that he did last night. As critical as you were in game one, as critical in the collapse by the New York Knicks and what Tom Thibodeau did not do and the use of challenges, as critical as you were in game number two for how he handled it, especially having Karl-Anthony Towns glued to the bench in the fourth quarter. You know what? Today, last night, hop on social media, call this radio station, react to your buddies, having your favorite libation, whatever you might be, barbecue, pool, wherever you might be on this holiday Monday. Here's what you need to do. You got to give Thibodeau credit. Because he deserves it. Because the Knicks are back in this series, down 2-1, because of the adjustment that he made, leaning into his strengths as a head coach. There's no doubt about it. He's a more defensive-minded head coach. That's where he came up. An assistant for Doc Rivers up in Boston with the Celtics. Former assistant with the New York Knicks. Obviously, what you saw in Chicago. At times, a failure in Minnesota before he came here to New York to be the head coach of the New York Knicks, right? So, you've seen it with Tom Thibodeau, but last night, Thibodeau, for all the criticism that he got after games one and two, last night he deserves credit. Because he outcoached Rick Carlisle. And the Knicks are back in this series now down 2-1. It was, you know, an interesting Sunday night. It really was. When it looked like the Knicks were basically as Reggie Miller on TNT saying the Pacers are looking for the knockout blow in that second quarter when, you know, they're up 55-35. And the Knicks are struggling, staggering around. And what can help you if you're not going to be out there and be efficient offensively? If Brunson's going to take one dopey foul after another, well, then you know what you have to do? You have to go out there and get stops. And give Tibbs credit. He doesn't go deep into the bench. He's not playing 10, 11 guys. He's not going out there doing what Rick Carlisle does. You know, we've talked about being critical of this bench, but it was Shamet, it was Wright, and it was McBride, along with Hart. Towns doesn't get credit defensively because he's another one that's a terrible defensive player, but what he is exquisite offensively. And when he gets on a heater, you saw it last night in the fourth quarter, get out of his way. And he dropped in 20 points. Does one game decide a series? No. But I'll tell you this, and I said it yesterday, I thought the Knicks were going to win last night. I did. Did I feel that way when I was screaming at the television set and my kids were telling me, why are you screaming at the TV set when the Knicks are down 20 in the second quarter? No, I didn't necessarily think that way. But I thought it was important for them to whittle down that 20-point lead to 13 at the half. I thought they stabilized themselves. Even when they fell behind by 16 in that third quarter, they stabilized themselves to only be down 10 going into the fourth quarter. And as we have seen here in these NBA playoffs, home court advantage means absolutely nothing, and no lead is safe. Did I think it would look the way it would look? No. Did I think I'd be talking about DeLon Wright and Landry Shamet and Deuce McBride as glowingly as I am talking about them on this Monday? No. When that game, before that game got going last night, I did not. But you know what? I'm going to give them all the credit in the world. I'll give Towns, as I have been critical of Karl-Anthony Towns. He's an exquisite offensive player. It's hard to play great team defense when Brunson and Towns are bad, are terrible defensive players. But still, you understand what they can do for you offensively. And this is not a Brunson game. This was about defense. You know how many points the Indiana Pacers scored in the second half last night? 42. You know what gets you to 42 points? And you could talk about poor shooting, and they were 5 of 25 from behind the arc. The Knicks outscored Indiana from the three-point line. Think about that, by 18. The Pacers in the first half were shooting 50% from the floor. I don't exactly know where their second half numbers were, but I'll tell you that. It was distinctly below that. And what the Knicks were able to do defensively, they took Indiana out of their rhythm. And maybe the Pacers thought that game was over at 55-35. Maybe they started to play around with their food to a certain extent, like a little child. I have no idea, but I'll tell you this. The Knicks were able to take advantage of it, gave themselves an opportunity in that fourth quarter, even when they were down 20 in the second, down by 10 going into the fourth, and then Karl-Anthony Towns took all the frustration from sitting on the bench in the fourth quarter of game number two, sitting on the bench for a lot of the time last night, and went out there and exploded for 20 points in the fourth quarter. And it became a cat game. It became a cat game offensively, but then you have to also credit the guys that came off the bench for Thibodeau to go out there and make the adjustment and understand what his team needed. And they needed to get stops, and they needed to frustrate Indiana offensively, and they did just that. I don't want to hear about Michael Malone today. Don't want to hear about the minutes police today. Today is a good day if you are a New York Knicks fan, because the Knicks in this series are alive. Now, is there still work to be done? There's no question about it. You know, you want to take both games out in Indiana. You do. And the Pacers are going to look at last night's game as a missed opportunity. For sure they will. Carlisle's going to look at that game film and say to themselves, we had them down 20. We had them exactly where we wanted them. We were up double digits going into the fourth quarter, and amazingly enough, we could not finish. We had one bad offensive possession after another. We allowed their defense to dictate and set the tone. We have to be better than that. I was surprised the way it looked. I really was. I didn't think the Knicks would be. I thought it was going to be a game in which the Knicks were right there, nip and tuck game throughout the course of it. I didn't think the Knicks would be down 20. But yet, another epic comeback by this Knicks team. Tremendous. From the depths of despair. They show you the heart, the tenacity, and the defense last night. And this was not a Brunson game. It was a cat game offensively. But give Shamet, McBride, and Wright, and Hart a ton of credit. I understood why Tom Thibodeau decided to make the change in the starting lineup before the game. He needed to do something. But with that being said, you have to have the understanding of there is diminished returns with Mitchell Robinson. He played 29 minutes last night. I think what you want to get from Robinson is this, anywhere between 21 and 25 minutes, because that's where you're going to get the best of Mitchell Robinson. And if you overextend him, you start to see the diminished returns. If you want to win this series, you got to go out there and win game four. There's no doubt. Knicks come back home, down 3-1. Even with two of the next three games at home, that's not the position you want to be. Crawl before you walk, walk before you run, right? Your dad used to tell you, mom used to tell you, aunt, uncle, whatever it might be, right? Don't put the cart before the horse, or all the cliches that you used to get, right? Next game up, next game mentality, next possession up. Well, it was all about game three last night. Put a little pressure on the Pacers, and let's see how they react. And that's exactly what the Knicks did. It looked a lot different than everyone anticipated, but a win's a win. Cat deserves the credit, and the coach deserves the credit. Today's not the day for the minutes police, I'll tell you that. 10:19 in the a.m. on this Memorial Day Monday.